Hi, my name is Christian Buckley. I'm the Managing Director at GT Consult.
And my name's John Westworth. I'm an Office 365 Customer Success Manager at Microsoft.
And we're here today to go through a session called Yammer Administration and Power User Best Practices, which is just a lot. There's a lot within this, John. I mean, I know you and I have both been dealing with Yammer for a number of years, and so we're going to go through and talk about the detail of getting it started up, activated, up and running in the organization, and then what you need to do to really excel in using the platform.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to walk through very quickly just my background. So as I mentioned, Christian Buckley, so Managing Director of GT Consult. I'm a four-time MVP, so three times for SharePoint, and this last year switched over to Office 365. And I speak at events all over the world. I've been about 25 years in high tech, worked for Microsoft for 3.5 years. I was in a group called Microsoft Managed Services, which was the forerunner to what is now Office 365, so the dedicated side of the house. But I've been using social technology really for the last, since the mid to late 90s, as Instant Messenger caught on and then got involved from a technology standpoint. GT Consult is a full service consulting company, but we also do managed services, so we'll actually host and administrate your environments, SharePoint on-prem and online. And so, John, you're with this company called, I believe it's pronounced Microsoft?
Yeah, you may have actually heard of them. So my name's John Westworth, as I said. I'm currently a customer success manager. I've been at Microsoft for almost 15 years. I started off in MCS doing Lotus Notes to Exchange migration. So, and that's really because before I joined Microsoft, I was actually a Lotus Notes developer for about 9 years. So I either joined the dark side or saw the light, I guess, depending on your point of view. Ever since then, I've been connecting three-letter initialisms. So I've worked in MCS, I've been a PTS, I've been an SSP, I've been a TSP, which are all well-known Microsoft job roles. I'm currently a customer success manager, which is a wonderfully ambiguous job title. Yep. But the main role of that really is to work with customers to change the way that they work and take advantage of Office 365.
That's a great role. And so here I've got an outline of the topic. So what's going to be covered in this session? So we're going to do this module one is on the background of social collaboration. And we'll talk about what's happening inside of Microsoft. And John, love your perspective. We certainly have a perspective on the outside. But then we're going to walk through and we've broken it up in kind of these logical pieces of different lengths. But I encourage you, if you want that full end-to-end understanding of how Yammer works and how you fit it into your organization, then to take a look at all of the modules. We're going to run through the basic navigation. We're going to talk about the setup and activation process and show you what that looks like. We're going to run through kind of the admin 101, like the day in the life of an admin inside of Yammer. Then we're going to talk specifically about the roles and the differences between those roles. Then we're going to go through and explore kind of a deep dive into those roles, focusing more on the network and verified administrator. And then we're going to go through and do something which it's necessary for any admin discussion, I think you'll agree, which is power user tips, like how you actually get the most out of the platform. Because being a Yammer administrator, it's not just about the setup process, but it's about ensuring the long-term success. And it's an ongoing operational activity to make sure that there's healthy level of engagement and adoption of the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as much about community management as it is about administration of the system.
It is. And that's why it's like if you went through any of the certification, I know the training that's now just available out there for anyone formerly part of the certification program, it's a blend of 50-50 of the technical, how you do the things, and the other half of it is how you encourage your end users to get involved and stay engaged. And then the last session that we're going to, the last module, eight, will be around future planning, where we'll talk about the where you go to get information about the roadmap and advice on ongoing administration of the platform. Just to set expectations here, so this is a 200 level session. It's really focused on network and verified admins. But again, as we say that you're not just an admin, you also need to be a power user within the system. That's where it works the best when you're both of those things. But we're going to walk through the basic capabilities, talk about the various roles, help you get up and running, and then the best practices to make sure that you're getting the most out of the platform. And then finally, I'm just going to say that, you know, if you're not yet a member of the Virtual Academy here, you know, please take a look, join the MVA. There's a lot of great resources, great content like this, and a lot of experts from around the community that are giving of their time. And it's definitely a resource that you want to take advantage of. So with that, we're going to kick off Module 1, Background on Social Collaboration. Just a quick overview of what we'll cover in this module. So we're going to talk about the shift of the focus towards improving productivity. And this is from top all the way down inside of Microsoft and how that reflects on what's happening in the community. We're going to talk about the rise of the social organization. And then we'll get in and talk about the social features within 365 versus, you know, in SharePoint on-prem and the differences there. And then finally, you know, what it means to work like a network. So what role does productivity play in your collaboration strategy? And that's an increasingly important question. I don't know if anybody that's in the audience went and participated in Microsoft's Worldwide Partner Conference this last year, but it was the first keynote by the new CEO, Satya Nadella, and he talked about this shift internally at Microsoft, and John, maybe you could talk about this, from away from this devices and services, which honestly, I never fully understood what that meant, you know, to partners, certainly. But he talked about being about platforms and productivity, which made more sense. And so as you think about Yammer as a productivity platform, you think about SharePoint as a productivity platform, as the Office suite as productivity platform, and then some of the experiences that are being developed, which span those things, there has been this huge shift towards this. It's not just about providing tools and good luck at trying to figure out how to use them and be productive, but Microsoft looking at end-to-end, what are these productivity experiences?
Absolutely, and I think one of the other things that he talked about was being mobile first and cloud first, and a lot of people have taken that to be, it's all about the mobile device, but it's as much about the person being mobile and being able to move from device to device to device and take advantage of those productivity tools. And you've seen that, you know, since Satya came on board, the release of Office for things like the iPad and Android devices coming soon as well.
Well, it's important to productivity. Part of that is providing tools, providing capabilities where people are actually getting their work done versus, hey, here's something new, go learn a new way of doing those things. So that's an important reason why in the mobility story, you need to be able to support people on the tools that they're actually using today. And I've got this slide, and I'll just kind of go through this very quickly, but you know, why focus on productivity? One reason, important reason, and when you think of SharePoint and Yammer and the collaboration, it's about simplifying that user interface. So, you know, again, providing it in a manner that people are accustomed to, that if they're doing most of their work out in social tools, give them a way to collaborate through similar social capability.
And I think that's one of the beauties of Yammer is that it looks so familiar to people. When they first look at it, they can pick it up very, very quickly and very, very easily because it just looks so familiar to those of the social
tools. Right. It follows those standards, which are, I think we've all become accustomed to them in some of the consumer base of social platforms. Another reason is to better align with those user activities with the needs of the business. That's a critical thing. And so, it's this idea that social isn't something that is necessarily a destination, a URL that you go to suddenly collaborate. It needs to be part of the workloads that you're getting business done around.
Yeah, and when we've seen Yammer fail is where somebody has just stood up a Yammer tenant, mm-hmm. and then just said, well, nobody's using it. And it's because it's not tied back to that business case and a vision of what they're trying to do with the product.
Right.
And it just becomes a wilderness very, very quickly.
And I always talk about the next bullet here is to streamline business processes. Because that's the next step. Like you've added it, you've simplified some things of the existing workloads. But once you have it in place and people start seeing the power and capability, it starts changing. You can have your list of 10 requirements that you must have for the system, but as soon as they start consuming that, their requirements mature. And so suddenly they want to do more, they want to go above and beyond that, and you're looking at how do we further streamline this? I'm a big fan of W. Edwards Deming, and Deming always talks about optimizing the system. I can hear his voice in my head saying, "Optimize the system." But it's this, that's part of management, part of administration, is on an ongoing basis looking at how do we continue to improve this, continue to streamline that.
Absolutely. And I think if you go and talk to the people within your organization, they'll be more than willing to tell you what is and isn't working, what's stopping them from doing their job. And that's a great way of actually seeing how you can plug these productivity tools in there.
And the last one I have here is just about getting more out of your IT investments. And that's the truth. Understanding how the platform works is the key to getting your money back out of the investments that you've made. So time and people, you know, the resources that you've put towards this. If people are going in and just simply reading the, because they've gotten an alert because somebody has commented on something and pointed to them within Yammer, and they're getting these email alerts, and all they do is go in and read something and get back out, they're not adding value. You want to help your end users understand, here are other ways to use the platform. Here's how to align it with what your work activities are, so that if they're using it more, they're more, they're adopting it, they're engaged inside of it. And I always clarify that, adoption versus engagement. I don't know what you use as CSM, but.
I always use the analogy of going to a gym and signing up for a gym membership. Gym membership is really the deployment and getting it out on people's desks. But you really need to change the way that they work and change their behaviors. And that's the more difficult piece that we need to kind of think about, really. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to sign up for gym membership. It's very difficult to change that behavior so you keep going, you keep doing the fitness regime, you keep doing the exercises that are gonna make you a better organization.
I think a failure of an administrator is to say that, okay, we have 100% adoption because 100% of your employees have actually logged in. That's not adoption. But engagement is where you look at, in fact, a lot of online tools now, if you host any webinars, for example, will tell you how many people are actively engaged during the session. Are they actually paying attention? The tools will actually tell you, no, they're actually reading email while your presentation is going. It's the same thing about the environment. Are people just logging in once a month? Are they actually in there reading content, spending time being engaged within the platform? So one last kind of area I wanted to talk about is the difference, and this is an important aspect of Yammer, why it's powerful, is the small team collaboration, I think the ideal team size, something like 5 direct reports, because you're able to communicate, you could walk over and talk to them, but it's the most functional, it's the easiest for communication metrics, kind of, all of those types of things. Well, in collaboration, you want to have that small team feel to it, but you need to have that to the enterprise. And that can be a difficult thing. So, large team collaborations and the structured collaborations, and when you talk about an enterprise scale, you're thinking more like enterprise content management rather than, social collaboration. And so what Yammer has tried to do is extend that small team capability, that feel, to the large enterprise to be able to meet that need.
Yeah, and I think really good teams tend to be quite diverse as well. And that probably means that you report to different managers within the organization. So getting that cross-team collaboration going is incredibly important.
And I love this slide of we approach social from the technology standpoint, because this is a problem, especially, and I'm assuming I'm speaking to almost entirely technical people here, but that we approach social from that technology standpoint. And as I go and I talk about social technology at events around the world, I make this point over and over and over again that the technology is actually the least important aspect of a successful social deployment. So we don't understand the business impact. We don't understand the cultural issues. I had a customer that was a company that was manufacturing milk-based products, cheese. And they were all on board they had a new admin that wanted to roll out the full social capabilities. And it's like your company's moving from paper-based from paper-based processes across the board. So that's a big enough step to say move over into the digital realm. But to also now use social, it's like you make cheese. Most people are out in the field. They're working with the animals and the heavy equipment. It might be overkill to have all these social tools fully built on. So understand the cultural impact. Now, they also didn't have the executive support. And I think that, you know, that's something I hear from CSMs of how critical executive support is to long-term success.
Yeah, you need those execs to really, they're the ones who are going to remove the blockers for you. And they're also going to be the ones who kind of pull everybody into that Yammer network for you as well. If they see people being engaged as part of an exec committee, then they're going to want to be engaged as well.
And having the business process alignment is a great example. We all talk about Nationwide Insurance is a company that they keynoted at the SharePoint conference and a couple years back and have a lot of material, partner and customer material that's out on Microsoft's site, and talk about where they started to see the impacts. One, when somebody who was a frontline support person reported how they had an issue, they posted it within Yammer, and the CEO responded, and how that had an impact, a ripple effect within the organization. But it also was aligned, like if you had issues, it's like the old suggestion box. Like they had a group that was defined for process improvements, and similar to most companies' suggestion boxes, it kind of gathered dust until the CEO came and responded to it. And so by having that involvement, but also having that process alignment, so where they started heavily going and aligning group activity with specific business units and workload activities, so that if you wanted to process vacation requests or things like that, or conversations around moves of within the company, of physical moves of between office space, coordinating those activities, it started to help the adoption and engagement. It started to click with people that they could get help more quickly by spreading that out instead of sending a single email out to a team or department and wait for a response back, that the interested parties can respond directly back.
Yes, and we see a lot of frustration with frontline workers because they feel like they're not being heard. And Yammer is a great way of breaking down those layers of hierarchy so they can post something. And as you said, the CEO can respond and get that resolved pretty quickly.
Yep. And the last one I have here is about building advocacy. And this is important with any technology as well, is that you can't just install it and walk away and pray that it'll all work out in the end. No, you need to understand what are the levels of administration. And we're going to talk about those various admin levels within this session. We're going to get into a deep dive in a later module. But providing that level of support as well, and having one of the most effective tools that I've used in the past was doing like a twice a month brown bag lunch and learn, where somebody would come in and show, like, here's how I used it effectively. Here's something that I went and built out, or here's something that worked very well, or even something, this did not work. This is why it failed, and share that knowledge. And so you start developing this culture where people want to share and help each other, which only feeds into a platform like Yammer.
And that's a great way as well of identifying the champions within your organization. And the champions are those people who are really keen to use Yammer, and they're the ones that are going to kind of go out there and evangelize on your behalf. And they're more willing to take risks, really. And they know things aren't going to work first time, but they're the ones who are going to pull the rest of the organization in and drag them along with on that journey as well.
Exactly. And it's why it's so important to understand how your teams are working today, and build your requirements based on your understanding of how your teams get along, how they function together, what that culture is like, what their training, their education needs are, their technical competence. Because you can't just deploy a technology and hope that it works. You need to have a strategy for how it's going to work.
And I think Gartner as well, they said, social tools, it's 20% technology, 80% culture. And from our experience, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So we're just very quickly going to cover just some of the out-of-the-box social experiences, just so you think from a broader Microsoft perspective of the different pieces that are available out there, because it is changing. And so Office Graph is something you've been hearing a lot about in the news. So this is the machine learning-based driven technology that powers a lot of the coolest features out in Office 365, for example. So it allows you to, there's the Delve search interface that's part of that. It's powered by the Office Graph. But you also have things like the new video services. You have other advanced search capabilities, the clutter capability that's in Exchange Online, that are all enabled because of Office Graph, where it learns from how you're using the platform and then provides a more let's say, filtered view, a personalized experience. So we know that the Yammer, by the time this goes live, I don't know if Yammer will become a source for Office Graph in there. So it's going to start learning from your social interactions in the organization and starting to surface things that are important to you based on those social interactions.
Yeah, so I think the best search that you can do is the search that you don't have to do. And search is great if you know exactly what you're looking for, but Delve is a great example of surfacing information that you may not even be aware of that your colleagues are working on as well. And I found content, which has been really, really useful, but I just didn't even know existed until Delve actually surfaced that for me.
Yeah, so the Delve and Boards is something that is expanding rapidly, and that's where we're as soon as I'm salivating, waiting for Yammer to be a source for Delve. So as you go into your Delve experience, get that personalized experience of my team, my manager, my direct reports. What are they working on? What's relevant to me based on meetings that I have scheduled today? Is it surfacing content or activities? You know, based on that, being able to go and create these personalized views into that content. Then there's, of course, there's the groups capability, which is this experience that sits across Yammer and SharePoint and Exchange within Office 365. So if I have a project team or maybe a specific customer where I want to be able to go and have more specific, you know, I want to track activities and content and discussions across, you know, that activity. It's just like a filtered view into that activity. And then, of course, there's Yammer. There's a lot of great networks that are out there. We're going to be getting into a deep dive into this. Even if you're not using Yammer today in your company, I highly recommend that you go and join in the free version and at least go and sign up for the various networks that are out there. I mean, I've got the examples on the screen. You have over 50,000 members now in the Office 365 network, which is a must, you know, follow resource that Microsoft has. And then you have various regional user groups and other things which you may find a lot of benefit by participating in. So here, like I'm on the board for the Puget Sound SharePoint users group, where we talk about all things social. Then you have a huge change happening called around inline social. So this is where, basically what this is, and I'll show another example of this, but is that if you have files that have been added into, so PowerPoints or Word docs or whatever it is, PDFs, up into Office 365 or your OneDrive account, where you can do co-editing. Not only co-editing on the Office apps, but you can actually track the social conversation happening around that artifact over on the right side of that content. Another great example of that is the new you know, SharePoint related video portal, the video services in 365. And you have the Yammer conversations on the right side. So again, I can go and talk about, here's training materials that we've made available to the entire company. Here's, you know, whatever content it is, here's the conversation that's happening in line, in real time, or go and historically find, you know, conversations that have happened about content that you've
discovered. And that's a great way of raising engagement as well, because now social isn't just a tool that you have to go to. It's actually in the flow of the work that you're trying to do. So instead of switching between applications, you can actually do it within that one application that you're using on a daily basis.
And just to wrap up this this module, Microsoft came out with about a year and a half ago about this this campaign of work like a network. I think some people kind of looked at it as a bit marketing fluff around it, but it actually, I think it is very intuitive about where things are going. So I have kind of a high level, I'll flip through some of the slides here, but work like a network and what that means, you know, where the world has become a giant network. It's not just about your team or your list of documents. It's that the content that's relevant to you and your project could be coming from a number of different locations. We're used to working in this hierarchy of people and information, and so it can limit, you know, we get these data silos that we create, and it limits then our visibility into content and to you know, teams, people, expertise, which could be relevant to the projects we're working on. And so you have this idea of people, the groups, and the overall network, and being able to connect those pieces. And they came out with this work like a network, where you're listening, you're adapting, and then you're growing your business. And honestly, I mean, still, it's a bit high level for, like, people have a difficult time connecting with that. But I think it's something that I think we just need to keep talking about, because it is important, and it's it is the reality of the way that they're working increasingly. And you need to think about in terms of the benefits of the larger organization, the over on the network, versus just your project team or your own ability to get work accomplished.
Yeah, so I think Peter Drucker was talking about organizations years ago, saying they're social organizations, and exactly they are. They're built on relationships. They're built on people sharing information. And the hierarchy is great for kind of effectiveness, but it's not always great for efficiency. And you want to get the shortest route to the expert who can answer your question. And the quickest way to do that is in the network, rather than actually going through that organizational chain.
And the last slide I have here is, I think, is a critical point that we've talked about at the beginning through here, but is just want to kind of cement this point, that there are three components to your strategy, especially with Yammer, but any technology deployment. And it's people are number one, business process number two, and technology is number three. If you don't have the people on board and you're not supporting them while you have that deployed, then you're going to fail every time. Likewise, if you don't have the business process alignment, then the business is like, you can have happy end users that love the capability and they're talking, but if there's not alignment with the business process, then the business won't see, the executive team won't see the ROI, they're not going to see the value, and they'll want to go back to a more structured, less end user friendly solution so that they see that ROI. And then the technology standpoint, I mean, honestly, it's the least important aspect of that, because there are teams which are very successful and happy on really old technology.
But it works.
But it works. It works for them because their capabilities are being met and the process is aligned. So if you have the leading technology, if you have the newest, the greatest stuff with happy end users and the process alignment, then you're going to have higher productivity. It is a combination of all three of these things which give you greater productivity.
Yeah, and if you go into the fast track tool, there's a great adoption plan in there. And it doesn't talk about technology at all, really, apart from capabilities and aligning those with scenarios and business cases. And it really talks about getting the right team together so you can make that adoption a success.
So just to wrap up this module, social collaboration, it's a huge factor in teams that are focused on productivity. It's great for small teams that have a very specific focus, but allows those small teams to tap into the knowledge of and the information assets of the broader enterprise, and it allows an enterprise to work as a bunch of coordinated small teams. And it allows you to leverage more expertise, find people, unlock those silos. That's really the point that we wanted to make. So the next module, we're going to walk through some of the basic navigation, and hopefully you'll join us and walk through the rest of this session. And thanks for watching.